Now, may we look at the days between the resurrection and the ascension. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1 and verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. The Lord's death and resurrection, when viewed in connection with the Old Testament dispensation, summed it up and brought it to an end. It was the beginning of what we regard as an age of grace. The Lord remained on earth 40 days after his resurrection to prepare his disciples for this new age. During these days, there were appearances and disappearances. The appearances were necessary in order to prove again and again that he was indeed risen from the dead. The disappearances were also necessary to school his disciples to live by faith and not by sight, as soon as his bodily presence would be absent from them. In this period, there were seven important openings. First of all, there was the opening of the tomb. We are told in Mark 16 and verse 1 that certain women brought sweet spices to anoint the body of our Lord, and they found the huge stone rolled away from the door of the tomb. And we are told in Matthew 28 and verse 2 that in an earthquake, during an earthquake, an angel from heaven had removed it. This was done before the women arrived, and the guards appointed were so affrighted that they became as dead men. And no one saw Jesus come out of the tomb. He did not need the stone rolled away, nor was it rolled away to let him out, but rather to let his disciples in, that they might see the evidence that he was indeed risen from the dead. The Lord did not have to struggle to arise. In quiet and calm, he rose without disturbing the grave clothes. The Lord opened his own door of death and triumphed over death. After the opening of the tomb, we look at the end of those days, the 40 days, and we see the opening of the heavens. Mark 10 and 19 says, he was received up into heaven. Psalm 68 and verse 18, thou hast ascended up on high, means that he did so by his own inherent power and went in bodily into heaven. His entrance was hailed with transports of delight, and we are told that 20,000 of chariots of God and thousands of angels came out to give him a royal welcome. The language of the psalm is that of a military triumph, having defeated all the powers of hell and fully accomplished man's redemption. Thus, in Psalm 24, we see heaven opening its gates to receive him. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. So Psalm 24. And the gates of heaven, which open that day to receive him, remain open, so that day by day his believing people might pass in, a wonderful daily procession, to sit down with him in everlasting glory. Now between these two, there were other openings. There was the opening of the eyes. We read in Luke 24 and 31, and their eyes were opened so that they knew him. The prophets had declared that he would do this. Isaiah 35 verse 5. The first reference may have been to physical eyes. Only a few such were opened by our Lord, but millions of spiritual eyes have been opened by him, and all such now know the Lord. All his followers needed this touch from the risen Lord. We read of the two going to Emmaus that their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Luke 24, verse 16. That Mary in the garden was actually in his risen presence, yet knew not that it was Jesus. The disciples who had gone back fishing knew not that it was Jesus standing on the seashore on the morning of resurrection. All needed their eyes opened that they might know him in the power of his resurrection life. And this was one of his ministries during those 40 days that he opened, that their eyes were opened by him. Then there was the opening of the future. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the Lord said to Peter, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldst. And when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. John 21, 18 and 19. The Lord in these words told Peter two things. First, he would live to be an old man. And secondly, he showed him by what exit door he would depart from this world. And when Peter turned and saw John following, he asked the Lord, what shall this man do? The Lord answered in effect that that was not Peter's business. John's future too was in the hands of the Lord, and he was governing the lives of his people. Our future is in his hands, and we may well be content to let it rest there. Then there was the opening of the scriptures. Did not our heart burn within us, said the two going to Emmaus, while he opened to us the scriptures? Luke 24, verse 32. The two on their way to Emmaus were in the depths of despondency. The cross had blasted their hopes of an earthly kingdom. But the Lord appeared to them, and though they knew him not, walked with them. In that walk, he began the new ministry of finding Christ in all the scriptures. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. As he did so, their hearts burned within them. They were lifted out of despondency. The opening of the scriptures set their heart aflame. Then there was the opening of their understanding. Luke 24 and verse 45. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Education is not the key to such an understanding, though no one would despise education. Many of the best teachers of the Word of God have had very little in the way of formal education. Worldly philosophers have no clue to such understanding. But humble believers with very little education have often gone into the depths of the Word and come up laden with jewels of divine truth. Then there was the opening of the world, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Mark 16 and verse 20. The disciples had been hid behind closed doors, eating and drinking. Verse 14. When the risen Lord came into their midst and upbraided them, then sent them out into all the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The whole world was to be their parish. Oiled wheels run freely, and how prompt and ready we should be to be the witnesses of our Lord to all men everywhere, especially when endued with power from on high. Here I am I, send me, Isaiah 6:8, was Isaiah's prompt reply, and that should be ours too. So these were days of wonderful openings, seven great openings during those 40 days that the Lord spent between the resurrection and ascension. Now listen to the words of Mr. Alabin. I know that my Redeemer liveth, once slain at Calvary. I know my sins my God forgiveth. Christ bore their curse for me. I know that my Redeemer liveth, a quickening spirit he. I know eternal life he giveth, amazing grace to me. I know that my Redeemer liveth, beloved ineffably. I know in him my God receiveth, in sweetest favor me. I know thou, my Redeemer, livest. I know these eyes shall see thy form, thy face of love, who gavest thyself to purchase me. Mr. Alabin. Beautiful words. Amen and amen.